From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this quick look at local and statewide news. After 7 months, Juneau's residential substance abuse treatment facility reopens this week. Although Rainforest Recovery Center will limit the number of patients for now, providers say the need in and outside the community is growing. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has this story.
The center can typically hold 12 patients at a time. Now that they're reopening, they've cut that capacity in half. Chief Behavioral Health Officer Bradley Grigg says they're taking it slow to reduce the risk of spreading COVID-19.
We would be fools to think that 6 beds is going to meet the need, but we're doing it based off pure safety and caution.
Since the pandemic began, Rainforest has shifted some rehab services online, offering outpatient treatment for the first time in recent memory. Grigg says they now have more than 40 patients getting counseling virtually.
So if they meet criteria to get in and we don't have a bed quite yet, we've got outpatient services that can support them until we can get them in there.
They'll only accept people from Juneau and other parts of Southeast Alaska. Patients need a negative COVID-19 test within 72 hours of admission, and they'll be tested weekly. Masks are required for patients and staff. Grigg says they hope to be able to expand their admissions eventually, but for now, it's easier and lower risk to focus on helping people locally.
What we don't want to do is have to bring people in and have to quarantine them automatically once they're here. We'd like for them to get started in treatment as soon as they're here, and we think that local's just going to be the best at that point.
According to the statewide dashboard that tracks how many beds are available, there are about 24 other residential treatment facilities around the state. Many of them have open beds, but wait lists range from a few days to several months long. One complicating factor is staffing. That's been an issue for Rainforest. Grigg says part of the delay in reopening was due to construction on a new detox unit at the facility. Now that it's completed, patients going through withdrawal will be treated there, instead of inside the hospital. But since detox is a medical service, that means nursing staff has to be on hand 24 hours a day.
We went from 7 12-hour shifts now to 21 12-hour shifts, so it's a significant increase.
He says they're recruiting and have already hired new staff. They'll also rely on travel nurses. They hope to open the new withdrawal management unit in a few weeks. But things can change quickly in a pandemic, so they have to be flexible. Rainforest patients were sent home earlier this year, and the facility was converted into a backup site in case the hospital became overwhelmed with COVID-19 patients. Although it never came to that, Grigg says the equipment is still on site just in case.
So far, we've been fortunate to not have to use it, but if we have to stand it back up again, we know that we can do that pretty quickly.
For now, Grigg says he's more worried about what this winter will bring in terms of mental health crises.
We have new folks who are struggling that have never struggled like this before, to where it's obvious there that substance use is on the rise, whether it be alcohol or other drugs.
The pandemic is producing a lot of stress and social isolation, major factors that contribute to substance abuse.
Honestly, substance use is increasing during this time. It's increasing among children. It's increasing among families, adults. So that's the bigger concern for me of what is this going to look like 5 months from now when we're 1 year into this.
According to the latest data from the State Department of Health and Social Services, there are roughly 145 people across Alaska waiting to get into facilities to treat drug and alcohol issues. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
And with contact tracing capacity strained by the COVID-19 outbreaks statewide, Juneau city officials are asking the public to take more proactive steps to help contact tracers. Deputy City Manager Mila Cosgrove outlined some of those steps at the city's weekly COVID-19 community update on Tuesday. She says if you test positive through a private healthcare provider, there's a lag time before that information reaches local contact tracers with the state's Division of Public Health. So you should call the local public health office directly at 465-3353. Cosgrove says you should also reach out to your close contacts directly. If you are a close contact, you should also isolate as if you've tested positive. The city's Emergency Operations Center reported today that there are 91 active cases of COVID-19 in the community, and they attributed many of those cases to family and social gatherings. Cosgrove also says you should try coming up with a list of your own close contacts. If it's difficult, your social bubble is likely too big. Alaska won't start counting absentee ballots this year until a week after Election Day, and that could mean a long wait for final results, since people are voting absentee in huge numbers because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And early voting trends suggest Republicans are likely to perform better in early counts, while Democrats could catch up later. Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media has the details.
It's still dark and not even 9 o'clock Tuesday morning, but Leo Jenkins has already finished casting his early ballot. The 66-year-old detailer is a die-hard Democrat who came out to vote for Biden.
He's my man. Him and Kamala Harris. That's who I'm voting for. Yeah, if you're a Democrat on the ballot, you got voted for by me.
Jenkins wasn't the only Biden supporter voting at Anchorage's Midtown Mall Tuesday morning. 20-year-old Madison Horwat says she has her own reasons for showing up to vote for Biden early.
I'm notorious for, like, messing stuff up, so I want to make sure that I actually got to vote. And it was recommended to me by, like, some coworkers and some friends that just to go vote early because Election Day is going to be pretty crazy this year.
There are plenty of Republicans and independents at the mall, too. But publicly available data from the state show that registered Democrats make up an unusually large chunk of the more than 100,000 people who have already cast ballots this year. Most of those votes are absentee ballots, which elections officials are not going to start counting until a week after Election Day. This sets up what could be a very strange vote counting process. Normally, Alaskans get a pretty good sense of the final results on election night, with only the tightest races likely to shift as absentee ballots are counted later. But this year, you should gird yourself for more widespread uncertainty for at least a week. John Henry Heckendorn is a left-leaning political consultant in Anchorage.
Sometimes election night feels like Christmas Eve, and I'd say this time around it feels like much earlier on the advent calendar.
With so many more absentee ballots than usual coming from Democrats, Republicans are hoping to build up comfortable leads on election night, knowing that the subsequent absentee vote count could make things tighter. Here's Mike Dubke, a Washington, D.C. area consultant who works with Republican U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan's campaign.
Unlike most years, this is not the year that you want to be waiting for those absentees to come in. If you're a Republican candidate and you're close or down on election night.
For Democrats, Heckendorn says it makes sense to dampen election night expectations, since many more left-leaning votes are expected to be counted later. And he says that if races are even just competitive after the initial count, that could bode well for progressives. He cites the East Anchorage State House race between Democrat Liz Snyder and Republican Lance Pruitt as an example.
Like, if Liz Snyder's ahead in District 27 on election night, you know, that would be a very bleak result for the Republican.
Heckendorn notes that because conservatives are counting on in-person voter turnout this year, an Election Day snowstorm could cause real problems for Republican candidates. But Dubke says he's not too worried about that.
Because I know Alaskans, just like the Postal Service, can go through snow and ice and will get to their appointed round of voting on Election Day. So I am not that concerned.
For the record, National Weather Service forecasters say they don't see any big storms on the horizon, but with a full week still to go before Election Day, their confidence in that forecast is low. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
A labeling mistake has led the FDA to order the recall of more than 2 tons of packaged halibut fillets produced by a subsidiary of Sea Alaska. That's the Juneau-based Alaska Native Regional Corporation. The agency initiated the recall Friday after it was discovered that the breaded fillets, advertised as gluten-free, contain wheat and milk, but did not reveal the presence of those potential allergens. No illnesses have been reported. The 10-ounce frozen fillets were sold in Trader Joe's stores in 19 states, but not in Alaska. Some 356 cases have been recalled, with an estimated retail value of around $64,000. The fish was supplied and packaged by Orca Bay Foods. Since 2017, the Seattle area-based processor has been wholly owned by Sea Alaska, whose Alaska Native shareholders live in Southeast Alaska and the Greater Pacific Northwest. A Sea Alaska corporate spokesperson says Orca Bay is reviewing the root cause of the incident. The breaded halibut was branded Trader Joe's and is part of a seafood line supplied by Orca Bay and stocked by the grocery giant in the Midwest and the Northeast. Messages left with Trader Joe's weren't returned on Tuesday. And the federal government has withdrawn an appeal of a court ruling stopping one of the largest old-growth timber sales in Alaska's Tongass National Forest. Coast Alaska reported this week that the U.S. Justice Department planned to pursue the case in the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, but reversed course and withdrew the case October 20th. Environmentalists call the government's decision a victory that spares more than 36 square miles of old-growth forest from potential clear-cutting across Prince of Wales Island in southeast Alaska. Timber industry representatives say they supported the project that could supply the region's mills with timber and provide jobs. That's the latest from the KTOO newsroom. For an update on Juneau's COVID-19 response, visit ktoo.org. This is KTOO 104.3. I'm Rasha McChesney.